Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, fasten your seat belts, everybody. You brought your Bibles? Amen. Amen. Gee, we got Bibles in church. Wow, that's a miracle. You know, shut your phones down. Don't use it for getting scriptures. You know why? Because you're looking at Facebook while I'm preaching. Ah, don't lie to me. There's a bucket on the corner there. Put your phone in there. And bring your Bible so now that you're actually studying the Word of God and looking at the Word of God and not your phones. Amen? Young people, you hear me? Where are they? Oh, they're all upstairs. Are they watching upstairs? Somebody go and make sure they're watching upstairs and listening too. Hallelujah. Look, my introduction to the Word today is, I want to encourage you this morning because I felt that God gave me something and I have a responsibility to you as a pastor of the church to be able to speak truth to you. Amen? And not to sidetrack on issues and things like that. But you know that I will always bring the Word of God to you. I don't know nothing in life except the Word of God. And I know that the Word of God is the one that guides me. Amen? And it must be the same for you. Don't try to do the Holy Spirit's work. All right? Otherwise, you'll burn yourself out. Hallelujah. So I'm just on this path, and my message this morning, subtitle is, Everything is an Act of Faith. Everything we do is an act of faith. Amen. Amen? That's what we live by. So when the storms of life hit us, it's all too easy to get overwhelmed. But thankfully, in His grace, God has four life preservers, I call them, and He throws it at anyone sinking under the waves of doubt, confusion, and fear. And I'll give you them. They're amazing. Perspective. God gives you clear perspective. Where? In His Word. He gives you clear perspective on how to walk, how to do things in life, and it's everything that He speaks to you is in clarity because that's His Word, and He's got the Spirit of God that keeps talking to you. Number two, He gives you protection. Amen? Believe that God is going to protect you in this time and season. You know, when I finish this message, I want to pray for the children. Every time I think about the children, I said, God, what are they thinking now in this season and time? All this craziness that's happening around them that we've never seen before. It's happening in their season and time. And, you know, pray for your children. Pray for our children. And let's continue to guide them through the Word of God. And give them truth. Prepare them for the bad things too, you know. Don't just give them all the good stuff. Give them all the bad stuff and tell them this is what's going to happen if you don't walk in this place. Hallelujah. The other thing that God gives us is purpose. And that's really what we must make decisions on, purpose and not fear. Amen. And the other one is power. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is the power of grace. Is the counselor, is the teacher, is the one that does all the heavy lifting for you and I. Yeah. We have been given a really simple task in life, and that is to pray. Nothing else, nothing more. Pray. And you watch heaven move when you pray. That's all you need to do. Amen? God is able to do more than we could ask or think. More, much more. Exceedingly more than anything that we can think of. Amen? God gives you protection. We serve a powerful God. He has overcome the world, and we must learn to accept His power to protect, to sustain us when the storms of life hit. Hallelujah. There's going to be some tough storms coming, my friends. You know, before we entered into this, all this craziness that's happening now, I released a word that's, and I said, we're going to be going through some uncharted waters. And didn't even know about what was going to happen. That was in 2020, we were traveling through uncharted waters. But I thank God for His Spirit and for His guidance through His Word that has kept us going through. Hallelujah. The Christian life doesn't need to be a defeated, discouraged life. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be a defeated, discouraged Christian. That's not what God purposed for your life. Life shouldn't be like that. I want you to get up in the morning, smell the roses, enjoy the coffee and donuts, and sleep well at night. Okay? Hallelujah. You can live with confidence that the one who created you made a way for you to escape the evil of this world. Amen? And if you're a person of prayer, you will have no doubt and whatsoever, worry whatsoever in this life. Number two, God gives you purpose. We know how important it is to influence our culture for Christ. But our primary purpose, goal, and mission must be to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is why you have life and I have life. You know, I think about my two little mamas sitting on the corner there. Mama Julie and Mama Hollis and Mama Pam and all these amazing, wonderful, old, as in wise, okay? Not in age. I got to watch out here because I'm getting the eyes. I'm getting those eyes like. Be careful, treading on eggshells right here. But they, you know, Mama Julie came to me after she came out of the hospital and she says, I was going to go. Why didn't you guys pray for me? God is not going to let you go yet. There is a purpose for your life, Mama Julie. That is why you are here. Mama Alice, there is a purpose for your life. That is why you're here. That's what we must make decisions on, the purpose that God gives us, not on fear, my friends. Amen? Hallelujah. Our primary goal is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and these two are doing it every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Embrace this as your purpose, and you'll find renewed strength, my friends, to stand strong in the life and the storms that are coming against us, the church. God gives you power. Romans 8:11. Ooh, I love that scripture, and I've been walking on this scripture every day of my life. It says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The spirit of God will not let them go because it's giving them life through their mortal bodies every time they're in there. You know, Mama Alice said to the doctors, if I go, don't try to revive me. The doctors have such fun with those two in the hospitals. And they minister to those young doctors in there, and I just love it. That's their ministry. What do you think God kept them here for? Huh? To pray for you and I and to continue to preach to the doctors every time they get in there. Hallelujah. And Mama Pam's one of them too. I think she's not here this morning, but she's one of those ones that just don't want to go away. Hallelujah. This is life we're talking about. Oh, we shouldn't say these things like, yes, everyone's going to die. Everyone. It's how you go that you can be concerned about. But we are going to go. We belong to another world. Hallelujah. We are citizens. We're just passing through. Hallelujah. All we are doing is changing address. That's all we're doing. The power that works in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that exalted Jesus above the heavens and the earth and subjected everything under his feet. This is the power that lives in you, my friends. That's called the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. Hallelujah. I want to start by making some very amazing, powerful statements that are key principles about life. Because, you know, my friends, life is such a mysterious thing. Amen? It is a mystery. Life is a mystery. And if we don't know God and know our purpose, then we will never understand life. Because life was never meant for us to be experimented. Young people, your life is one life. God didn't give it to you so you can go and experiment with it. God gave it to you so you can live it according to his principles and his guidelines. Amen? It is a mysterious experience. So these principles that I've discovered in my life in Christ, and most of all as a pastor of this church, you know, these principles have allowed me to enjoy life, smell the roses, eat some donuts, bake some cake, eat lots of steak, oh, hallelujah, have a barbecue, and sleep well at night. These are principles that I learned in life. And, you know, I'm not here to give you some hairy, fairy, highly spiritual stuff. These are facts of life and principles that we have to abide by, and they are aligned with this word. Hallelujah. And I want to say this to you. If you don't understand something, it doesn't belong to you yet. Because if you don't understand it, you will never leave what has been given to you. But once you understand something, then you can be able to leave things. You can have to leave life. Some of the things that I speak to you, I leave those things. And I've been through them. And I understand them. So I'm able to give it to you. But if you don't receive it and understand it, then it doesn't work for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. These are principles that I discovered. No stress or pressure can take you when you understand those principles. Because right now, the whole world is overtaken by fear, anxiety, and uncertainty. And those words I don't even want you to ever have in your vocabulary in a conversation. Amen. Amen. Talk faith. Amen. Talk things of faith. Talk from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Have a conversation based on the Word of God. Number one, there are questions in life that we can never answer, so please don't try to invent answers for it. Oh, I'm talking as a pastor here. There are questions in life that we can never answer. We can never answer. So please don't try to invent answers for it. Don't become Holy Spirit. Normally when there is a lot of upheaval and trauma, people begin to, all of a sudden, everybody wants to be a prophet. Hello, somebody. They try to tell you everything that's happening to you because of something you've done. All of a sudden, everyone is a prophet now. Don't try to speak things that you don't even know anything about. Yes, number two, these are things in life. There are things in life that we can never explain. So please, don't try to be so deep about things. Yes, and try to explain mysteries of life to anybody. You don't know life. Only God knows life. So, my favorite word in this church, what? Shut up. When you don't know anything, shut up. Number three, there are things in life you can never change. Never change. My friends, if you get this, your life will be so good. There will be no stress, high blood pressure. All this stuff will not get you because you know you understand life. There are things in life you can never change. We pray, we fast, we believe for a lot of things. I'm blessed to have lived a life to be able to see a lot of things. I'm not as old as you are. I'm young. Some of you are 150 years old. I'm only 16. I've only been a pastor of this church for what? How many years? 2.5 years. So I had to learn fast about these things so that I don't get stressed about your problems. Oh, hallelujah. So I'm trying to give you something that you can abide by and walk by so that you can relax. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. Stop worrying. Hallelujah. You know, I've had much, I've had nothing, I have been depressed, I've been happy. Now as a pastor, I've been misunderstood, I've been attacked, criticized. I see people born, I see people die, I marry people, I dedicate babies, and then I haven't buried anybody yet. But I've done those things. And as a pastor's job is tough. We all misunderstand every time. People misunderstood. And if you're a pastor and you've done and you've served in churches, you know what I'm talking about. People will always throw stones at you before they try to understand you. Number four, that's why you know your limits. There are things in life we cannot control. I want you to settle it in your heart and move on. Don't dwell on it. Get over it. Move on. That's it. That's God's business. Number five, there are things in life we cannot stop. Hello, somebody. Things like death. You can't even choose when it happens. It happens. There are things in life, number six, that we cannot be responsible for. That's a good one. Sometimes we take responsibility for things we didn't cause, and it actually destroys us. We walk away with guilt every time. Listen, you're not anybody's rubbish dump to take everybody's rubbish. Live your life. Amen. Jesus said, what is it to you? You go and live your life and let him be. Yes, when they were complaining about John. What about John? Hey, leave John alone. Amen. You go and live your life. That's really what God is saying to us this morning. You are not responsible for your children's safety. Oh, sorry, not safety. Children's lifestyle after they've reached the age of 25. And all the parents said, amen. Or some of you say, ooh, I better not say amen about this. Amen. So if your kids decide to do some foolish things, don't sit around there and in life depressing yourself as a parent while they have having fun doing their foolishness. You've done your part as a parent. They have a decision to make for themselves. Once they reach the age of 25, they're on their own. You don't make decisions for them anymore. So go and have your cup of tea and relax. You know, I give everything to God. My children, I give them to God. I said, God, by sticking my ass, blah, blah. That means in English, God's going to give you a good belting. That's what God does. He said, if I talk to you, don't listen to me, then I'll just give it over to God and see what You don't want to be handed over to God, I tell you. Hallelujah. So you've done your part as a parent and they have a decision to make. Let them live their decisions. If somebody divorces you, hello somebody, you are not responsible for their stupidity and their mistakes. Get on with your life. Cry a little, that's good, but go and live your life. Oh, I'm serious. This is real life stuff we're talking about. Not going to come and pamper you and give you some nice soft message that we had a great service. No, get some principles in your life. Yes. Hallelujah. You're not responsible if your spouse died. There should be no guilt that you could have done more or you didn't do enough. Get on with your life. All these things God knows. Number seven, there are things in life we cannot exceed. Sometimes you spend all the money you can to try and get somebody medical attention and medical bills and pay all this stuff and it didn't work and he still died. Get on with your life. Sometimes when you come to, you exceeded everything that you have, then my advice to you is give it to God. Give it to God. God knows everything. Hallelujah. When you reach a point where you cannot exceed, then trust God after that. Do all that you can and leave the rest to God. You know, I hear people say, let God be God. Some people's favorite word saying, let God be God. Let God be God. Let him be God. Sometimes he's trying to save the world, and most of us are sometimes in the way of God trying to reach out to the world. Oh, hello, somebody. That's a good one. Sometimes we got to let God do his work, and you do yours. Because God knows your limits. Sometimes we don't know our own limits, and we want to try to be God and try to be the Holy Spirit. Do all you can and leave the rest to God. Don't try to be God and don't try to do the work of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes, listen to me, sometimes it is okay to say, I don't know. Try that. One day, somebody comes to you and goes, whoa, I don't know. Pastor, I had this dream and I don't know. Minasawa? You know, as a pastor, I'm okay to say, I don't know, because I don't know anything. All I know is that God guides me through his word. And if you come to me for counseling, I will always go back to the word of God to give you the word of God. And if you don't listen to me, then you're not listening to the Holy Ghost. And if you can't listen to the Holy Ghost, how can you listen to me? So when you come to me, I say, I don't know. I'm not going to go do the Holy Ghost work here. There are things that God only understands. So please don't try to have a deep understanding about things. Know what you know and thank God for what you know. Tell your neighbor, know what you know and thank God for what you know. Say it aloud. Say it aloud. Know what you know and thank God for what you know. I saw the bump. I don't know. That's good. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! That's a good one, Jen. But it's a joke. But I'll tell you, one day I'll tell you a joke. It's a really beautiful joke. Know what you know and thank God for what you know. Leave the heavy duty stuff to God. Kingdom faith submits its limitations to the unlimited God. That's kingdom faith. Kingdom faith submits its limitations to an unlimited God. That's how we should be living our life. When your faith is tested, you must submit it to God. That's it. Don't try to be anybody else or you're going to stress out, lose hair, grow hair, gray hair, whatever it is. Amen? Listen to this. No wonder David is an amazing, successful king. Why? He knew his limitations. Listen to what it says. Psalm 131, my first scripture. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Oh, I love that. That's my word. Hallelujah. No wonder David was successful. He says, my heart is not haughty. That means proud. In other words, he's saying, I don't walk around with my intellectual proudness trying to impress people that I know everything in the book, that I can explain everything in life. I don't know anything about the Bible until I go and study it and the Holy Ghost tells me about it and I come and release it to you. I'm being honest to you as a pastor, and you too should be honest about it. Don't try to pretend that you know everything about the Bible. Amen. Oh, hello, somebody. Amen. Then he says, my eyes is not lofty. In other words, I don't look down on people who don't understand what's going on and tell them that I understand everything that is going on. Wow, this is King David saying, Lord, my heart is not haughty, or my eyes are not lofty, and I don't concern myself with great matters, nor with things that are too profound for me. I know my limits, so I give it to you every time I exceed my limits. Oh, hallelujah. Pastors, that's your word today. Stop trying to do the Holy Ghost job. You'll burn yourself out. Then you'll ask me for 3 months leave. Let me just drink some water here. Hallelujah. Neither do I concern myself with great matters. He says, I will not exercise myself in matters that are too high for me. Sometimes it's more easy to say, I don't know. You know, my wife had a dream. I had to use this one. It's a good one. I'll sleep in the doghouse tonight. My wife said to me, oh, I had a dream. We were driving. And I goes, really? She goes, yeah. I said, what's the dream? She says, I dreamt that somebody gave me some cooked meat. And then she says to me, what do you think? What do you think it means? Don't receive anything from anybody? I said, don't receive any cooked meat from anybody. I don't know. What do you want me to think? Somebody gave you cooked meat? I don't know. And she probably knows what it means, but I don't know. So, you know, some people have this, oh, we had this vision and this thing, and we're trying to explain it to everybody. Now, sometimes it's easy to say, I don't know, and go home and sleep well at night. Hallelujah. Friends and family, I can say to you this, every problem is temporary. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Every problem is temporary. Nothing is forever. Seasons come and seasons go. Never apply a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Everything comes and goes, so make sure you make your decisions based on purpose and not on fear. What is the purpose of this? And make the decision from there. When your children are doing foolish things, running off with bad friends and going to parties, and you know, don't worry about them, because if you got them covered, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Whatever you have brought your children out for, they will never forget it, and the Holy Ghost will stay with them until they come back. They can be radical and be out in the world for 5 years or so doing foolish things. They will still come back. You just give them to God. Amen. And you go and live your life that God has given you. Enjoy your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Stop worrying about the things that God can only fix. Even if they act stupid for 5 years, they will return. Never apply a permanent solution to a temporary problem. The danger is sometimes we make a decision out of pressure and not because of purpose. Sometimes we make permanent decisions because of pressure, and later on we realize we want to reverse the decision and it might be too late. Friends, these are keys of life. You become an amazing person if you leave these principles, because your life is important to God. God is preserving your life so that he can use you. God doesn't want you to be suffering from any pressure, any stress in this time that we're living in right now. The most dangerous thing to lose in our life is not your money, not your car, not your house, not your provision, not your job or your family. No, the most dangerous thing to lose in life is your faith in God. Your faith is the most dangerous thing. If you lose it, then life doesn't mean anything anymore. Hallelujah. The most dangerous thing to lose in life is your faith. When faith is lost, life has nothing left. When you lose your faith, you have lost everything. But God has a God space, I call it. Because the Bible says everyone has been dealt with a measure of faith. Everybody was born with something of God. And only God can reach that place and touch it and grow it. Not you. All you need to do is train your children up to be able to walk in fear of God. And they will always remember that because the God space is there. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 27 verse 5. The Bible says, then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The Bible's talking about Judas here. When you lose your faith, there is no other reason for living. Peter and Judas had the same problem. They both denied Jesus. But Judas applied a temporary solution, or a permanent solution to a temporary problem. He could have been forgiven. You know, when I think about Judas, and I remember Peter Bogenberg wrote a song called The Judas Lament. It is a powerful song. It's a lament, and it's talking about Judas' cry when he realized that he had betrayed the Lord. And the realization it was too late that he had done it. But you see, that's the devil telling you it's too late. Oh, hallelujah. I love the grace of God. God says it is not too late. There is no boundary. You have not gone beyond God to reach you. Judas made a solution, made a permanent decision on a temporary solution. He could have been saved. If he came back to Christ and said, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. God went up on the cross and did the same to the thief on the cross. The same forgiveness he gave to the thief on the cross, he could have given it to Judas. But Judas decided to make a decision that is wrong. That's why you never apply a permanent solution to your temporary problems. Amen? Changes come and go. Seasons come and go. Things change. Hallelujah. If you lose your job, praise the Lord. There's one more coming. Better than that one. Hallelujah. Both of them could have been saved, but Judas applied a permanent solution to a temporary problem. You can always be forgiven. All of us can be forgiven. But if you think you cannot be forgiven, then you have applied a permanent solution to a temporary problem. That's somebody's message this morning. If you've gone too far in sin, God can still reach you and bring you out. If you come and say, God, forgive me for what I've done. The prodigal son did that. Sitting in that pig pen with all the pigs, eating their pig and leftovers and stuff, and then realize, hang on a minute, my father owns the 1,000 cattle on the hill. He lives in a palace. I eat and serve by servant. What am I doing eating with the pigs? There is a solution to everything in life. Ecclesiastes 6, chapter 3, verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. There is a season for everything. We don't quit life because the season is not good. If you lose your job, like I said, it's only for a season, my friends. We must be prepared for change, whether it's good or bad. And John chapter 16, verse 1, we were warned about this. Let me just read that scripture. I like Jesus because he warned us about these things just so that we don't get also carried away by fear. In John chapter 16, verse 1, it says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. In other translations, it says you're not offended. Who says it's going to be a bed of roses in the kingdom of God? When you came to Christ, oh, everything's good. Who told you that? If somebody tells you that when you give your heart to Christ, everything's going to be good, he's lying to you. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. You didn't hear me. Jesus said, if they hated me, then remember. If they hated you, then remember they hated me first. You see, life is just normal as you were outside of the kingdom. But when you're inside the kingdom, you've got this book. You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit to guide you in every situation you have. You've got the whole of heaven, the fullness of the Godhead of heaven lives and dwells inside of you. And God is behind you in everything. And when you go into your place of prayer, the whole of heaven stands with you. That's the difference you have being between outside of the world and inside the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Who says it's going to be a bed of roses? Who said it's going to be happy clappy time. No. We are going to be persecuted. We're going to be thrown in jail. We're going to be, do all these things that they're doing to the Christians. Persecution is going to come. Hallelujah. But then he said to them, they are going to crucify me. They're going to bury me, and I will rise again on the third day. He told them. And he says, I'm telling you this is because you might get into it and go, ooh, nobody told me about this. Jesus said, you will face it. Then he says to them, you will be persecuted, and they will take you before the courts, and they will whip you, and they will imprison you. And then he says, but do not be afraid. I have already overcome the world system. Oh, hallelujah. That's the promise. He says, all these things are going to happen. But he says, but don't worry. I have overcome the world system. Oh, hallelujah. My friends, my faith, or our faith will be tested. But our faith is only as strong as the test that it survives. When your faith is being tested, that's going to be a strong faith when it survives the test. Many believers walk around daily making claims, praising God, worshiping God, testifying to how good God is. He blessed them and their faith and never truly been tested. And it's easy to say, God is good. But when things are going well, what about when things are going bad? Is still God is good to you? Is God still good to you when things are going bad? Amen. Oh, yes, in this church, yes. Amen. God is still good. Amen. In good times and in bad times, God is still good. Hallelujah. God allows faith to be tested so that we can see how strong we are. Nothing in yours, he says, nothing is yours until you have really, really, really understand it and claimed it as yours. His purpose is to help you grow because he knows that untested faith is not valid faith and never amounts to much. Hallelujah. We need to thank God for the test that comes in our life. Thank God for that. Thank you, God. I know you're going to take me through that. Motive is birthed by beliefs and convictions. So if you say, I trust God, then my question is, why do you trust God? Is it because of who he is, or because of what you hope to get from God? God is not a poker machine where you put $1 open to get $100. You don't treat God like the world treats God. You don't come to church because you want something from God. You worship God for who he is. Nothing else and nothing more. Hallelujah. You know, tithes and offering. People say, oh, I don't believe in tithes and offering. I got a good word for you. Shut up. God owns the thousand cattle on the hill. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken all over. That's his word to us. He only asks for 10. If you get paid and you got $1,000 and you get 10, how much do you have left? 900. Hallelujah. Does it still belong to God?
Yes.
He just asks you for 10. You give him 10, you still keep what belongs to him. So thank God that you're a steward of the blessings that we have in this world today. Amen. Become a kingdom-minded person and live and operate like a kingdom person now. Because the world is all about money. All these things that has happened to us is because a few evil men are greedy. A few companies, corporate companies are greedy. That's why I preached in Romans 13 verse 1. Romans 13 verse 1 is not about obeying the government. Please understand that. Read your Bibles carefully and study it in Hebrew and Greek so that you understand. Because the English translation doesn't give you the deep stuff of the Bible. Yeah. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God, as in any country, your belief in the nation's constitution, promises and privileges can only be verified when circumstances require that you place a demand on the system. Oh, hallelujah. Things happen when you place a demand on the Word of God. When you bring the Word of God to Him and say, God, you said that. This is your promise to me. I'm standing on that Word. Wow, there's a powerful scripture, and I keep forgetting the scripture, but it comes to my mind all the time. It says, God says, I have forgotten all your sins. Everything, your iniquities, I've forgotten all that. He doesn't remember all that. Bible says he's not schizophrenic or he's not, what do you call that? What's the word when people forget stuff? God is not a dementia God that he forgets. He chose to forget. He chose to forget our iniquities. But he will never forget his word. He says, I've forgotten all that. But he said, now bring to me what I have given you. Bring to me my promise to you. And he says, I will judge according to what I have given you. Amen. According to the word that he's given you, he will judge on that so that you can receive your blessing. That's what God is talking to us about. He forgets everything else that is not good in your life, but he remembers his word. That's why when you bring the kingdom principles, when you bring the kingdom constitution to God, God says, yep, that's my word. I will act on what I have said. Hallelujah. And we got to remember that. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7, it says, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The testing of your faith in the kingdom of God occurs through circumstances, which provide an opportunity for you to validate your belief in the political, economical, social, cultural system of heaven, which comes from this constitution. That's why we should stop thinking like just church and start thinking kingdom. Operate on kingdom principles. Do these things that and see the manifestation of the power of God happens because we live like kingdom people. Hallelujah. Why did the people consider Jesus' words a hard teaching? Because they realized that he was calling them to follow him with no guarantees of fish and bread, calling them to be satisfied with him and him alone. That's why they said that teaching is too hard. We can't follow you with the ministry. It's too hard. Calling them to follow him without knowing outcomes in advance. Content to leave the future in his hands. Can we do that as the people of God? As the kingdom people of Living Light Gospel Church? Hallelujah. The devil will recognize you. He will look and say, that's one of those Living Light Gospel Church people. I don't want to be messing around with them. They're too powerful. That's what the devil should be saying. When he sees Living Light Gospel Church in you and Jesus Christ in you, he says, I better not deal with these guys. Because they've been getting some real food. Oh, hallelujah. They've been eating some meat. Yep, time for spoon feeding and changing nappies. It's gone. Gone. I'm not Pastor Bill Page. I'm Ben Hakelitz. People expect, we used to have this. Shut up. That season's gone. I'm the pastor of the church now. Deal with it. Amen? I speak true to you every time. I don't beat around the bush with people. Because I want you to be strong in the things of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Shut up at the back, deal with it. Great t-shirt. It's on sale right now, $25. Kingdom faith trusts Christ no matter what, because it knows that he has the words of eternal life. Hallelujah. Psalm 63 verse 3, it says, this is David, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Hallelujah. I love our worship. Sometimes we come to worship, we just worship. I want to encourage you, when you come to worship, forget about everybody else. Forget about how people will think about the dress you wear. Hello, somebody. Forget about how you're thinking, does his dress fit? People might, you know, that season for dress fitting, that's gone. You go to the bigger size now. When you get to Kmart and you dream about, I'll go to size 14. That's not true. Extra large over there. Big people section. That's the place. Go there. That's truth. Some of you want to live a lie. This will fit me. I better stop, eh? I know. Summary and closing. See, I'm on that part now. Jesus made a statement in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus asked if he could find faith on earth when he comes again. What is this faith that Jesus will be looking for? And do you have it? Good question. You know, faith in Hebrew is a beautiful word. It's called emunah. This is powerful. It shares the same root letters as the verb to trust. So you got trust and belief. Belief means amin, that's what I said before, which is why we announced amen when we pray for something, because we believe it and we trust it. So faith has those two words in Hebrew. If you study faith in other English contexts and all this other stuff, it doesn't give you the real deep foundation of it. But the Hebrew word is so strong. It has two words together. That's why it's so strong. Saying amen to God's word involves a heartfelt commitment to his faithfulness against all odds. It is the trust that Job had. When everything was taken away from him, he steadfastly trusted in God's goodness. Hallelujah. Job didn't worship God because he gave him a Rolls Royce, which was a donkey in that time. Donkey was the car in that time. You know, God took everything away. Donkey died. Rolls Royce gone. Everything gone. But Job never worshiped God because of that. That's the key thing we need to understand. He says, even if God says no to my prayers, I will still trust that he knows best for me. You know, I prayed for people and they've died. I prayed for people and they never got healed. Do I lose sleep over that? That's not my problem. I gave it to God. I exceeded my human tendency in my faith. Then I gave it to God. I said, God, it's yours. God has all the answers to everything that you and I have. If we have lost loved ones, God's got answers for that. Amen? You'll be sitting down having a cup of tea and he'll tell you exactly why he did what he did. Amen. So we've got to trust him about these things. It is trust that says, if God says no to my prayer, I will trust that he knows best. The Hebrew word emunah means faithfulness, fidelity, loyalty, not walking away even when the going gets tough, trusting the other and honoring the other's trust in us. Hallelujah. The English language teaches us that to trust and to have faith are two different things. The Hebrew word tells us they're the same thing. That's why there's so much power in faith when you study it that way. But in Hebrew, trust and faith are one and the same, and together they form a powerful force. Hallelujah. To trust and have faith is what? To have belief. And when you lose that, you've lost everything in life. Hallelujah. God took everything of Job. We have to see how far we push the boundaries of faith. By faith, Moses chose not the pleasures of Egypt. By faith, Ruth took the advice of her mother-in-law and as a result became the great-grandmother of David, King David. Hallelujah. By faith, Esther entered the chamber of the king uninvited, thereby risking her life, and Israel survived. Ooh, hallelujah. By faith, Daniel ate just fruit and vegetables, refusing the king's delicacies. By faith, his three friends said no to bowing down to the statue, and they all survived, all of them. Both a Roman centurion and a Canaanite woman broke through their cultural and religious boundaries and reached out for a supernatural encounter from Jesus. Hallelujah. No wonder Jesus said, they have more faith than you, Hebrews. When an outsider believes Jesus, like the Roman soldier, the Roman centurion says, Lord, you don't have to come into my own house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus said, I have not seen faith like that inside of Israel. Hallelujah. That's why you and I, when we stand on faith like this, God get excited about it. Because the word was given to them first. But now we've been grafted into this vine, hallelujah. And when they see us in having such faith like this, sometimes they get jealous. How come they have so much faith in the God we worship? Hallelujah. Because we have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that they refuse, that Jesus that they refuse, we have it. Hallelujah. But don't be too proud about it and tell them, that's it. We are the ones now. Still pray for Israel. When you pray, pray for Israel, stand on the Abrahamic covenant that he gave and pray. Jesus said, whoever blesses Israel shall be blessed. Stand on that one and see the manifestation power that comes with that. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 11 reminds us of the whole list of biblical characters whose lives are examples of how to live our faith. Jesus tells us many times not to be afraid. We demonstrate our faith in him when we fear not. We are to live by the perfect faith of the Son of God, not fearing bad news on TV. That's why I'm saying stop watching news. Read your Bibles. Sell your television. Give it to somebody. I don't watch TV. It doesn't give me anything good. Hallelujah. I trust in the Word of God and I trust in what God is doing, and that's all I trust in. Not some media person standing there trying to tell me about everything. It's all lies now these days. So turn your television off, sell it, get good money for it. I mean it. Sell it tomorrow. Go, sell it. Bring it down here, we'll sell it for you. I'm serious. But if you do read the news, always believe in the Word of God. Amen. Interpret what's happening according to the Word of God. On purpose, not on fear. Because God has given us purpose. Amen? Amen. So make your decisions, your whatever that you're going to make, make it on the purpose that God has given you. God, what have you got for my life? I'm inside this thing now. These things are happening, but you have a purpose for my life. That's why I speak on purpose every time. Because I know the purpose of my life. Hallelujah. John chapter 16, verse 33, and I'll finish here. It says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. My friends, that is a powerful promise from our Lord and Savior. And his prayer ministry hasn't stopped. His ministry of intercession hasn't stopped. He's up there praying for you and I. He prayed for us before he went, and he's still sitting there praying for us. And his prayer didn't tell God, help them to fly away somewhere. No, he prayed, he says, God, keep them. Protect them. Wherever they are right now, watch over them, keep them, so that they can fulfill your will on earth that you have placed in their life. That's Jesus' prayer for us. Yes, in the book of Revelation, he'll take us somewhere safe if we live true. You know, a lot of people say, I'll fly away somewhere. No, we don't sing that song anymore in this church. I'll fly away, all glory. Wait, fly where? God says you're going to rule and reign with him here on this earth. So some of us are going to see trials and tribulations. We're going to face it. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that everything's going to be hunky-dory and good. No, we're going to be facing stuff. But this kind of principles I want you to have with you when you face situations. These are real life stuff. It's not some hairy-fairy things. These are real, real meat stuff that you can actually obey it, receive it, apply it, and walk in it. Because it doesn't belong to you until you understand it and own it. Then you can stand and talk. See, your testimony, it's not a testimony if the testimony is still is causing you to fall. If you've come from a testimony that's really terrible and you have not shared this with anybody, that is not a testimony yet. You have not overcome that. You have not actually owned it to be able to stand and testify the goodness of God. Amen. That's why when you have overcome, then you can become a person that can speak and overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come, stand, let's pray. I'm done. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for the children after this, but I also want to pray for you if you're not well, if you're feeling sick. We're going to pray for you today before you leave, okay? So, let me just say, God, I thank you for your goodness and your grace and your love. Thank you that you have released the word that had to be released to your people. Father, help us to become the doers of the word. Help us to become people that apply principles. Help us to understand your word so that we can receive it, claim it as our own, and walk in it, that we become overcomers of every situation. Lord, I pray because we are in real life situation here, Lord, where things are changing. There's changes happening. But we know already, because the book tells us, that we are still overcomers and winners to the end. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray, God, for your blessing upon your people this morning. Thank you for your word that you have released to us. Help us to become doers of the word, O God. I pray that you ignite that so much in our lives, Father. Father, I also pray that you guide us by your Spirit in every situation we make, every decision we make, Father God, that it will be based on purpose, on what you have given us, and not on fear, anxiety, and uncertainty, and all these things that the world like to say. Lord, our words will be always faith, words of faith, hallelujah. I pray that we will speak words of faith upon each other, encourage one another, pray for one another. Lord, that you will guide us and lead us in this time and season that we live in right now. I thank you. I give you praise and I give you honor and I give you glory. In Yeshua's mighty name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I want the children to come. I want to pray for the children. Pray for those who are not well. Hallelujah. The reason why I pray for children, the children, is because every day they go to school. And every day somebody is putting some thoughts and words into their heads. And we must remember that those are the ones that are growing up in this season. We must never take for granted our children. And we must pray for them all the time. So I will take every opportunity to pray with our children. Hallelujah. There's an anointing here that I want to release upon the kids. As I was worshiping, the God says, pray for the children. And I have to do that. Hallelujah. Children, I want you to close your eyes. Don't look at me. Don't look around. Your season and time that you live in, you may think it's really crazy and all you know is COVID-19 and lockdowns and all this craziness that's happening. But I want you to know that God brought you in this season with a purpose. You got to understand your purpose. You were not just born to suffer through all this that the world is going through right now. You may be in doubt in many areas of your life, but I want you to understand, when God gives you a purpose, God never goes back on His word. Amen? That's why my heart is to pray with you today, that when you go to school, you will always be a critical thinker. You think for yourself. You don't allow people to put thoughts in your head, not even your teacher. I don't want you to listen to your teacher and say, my teacher said this and this and that. You listen to what God tells you. Listen to what your conscience tells you. That's the Holy Ghost in you, tells you. You are able to choose from right or wrong. You have the power to do that, okay? Are you listening to me? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
Good, I want to hear that. Because your life now is so important. And I know that many of us think, oh, we got to... You know, my kids are growing up in this time now that are not good. Well, most of our fathers and your grandfathers, they've grown up in their own season too. They've seen wars and come out of wars and they've done all these things. But your season and my season is different. Amen? So when you hear what I said this morning, then when you make your decisions in anything, don't make it out of fear. Ooh, I'm scared, so I need to do this. No. You make your decisions based on the purpose that God has given you. Why did God create you? In His word, in Jeremiah 1, chapter 5, it says, before you were in your mother's womb. See, your mother didn't choose you or plan you, or your dad choose you or plan you. God did. God allowed you to be born in this season and time. That's exciting, because God has a plan and a purpose for you. Amen? So I want to pray for you. I will always be praying for you, young people, always. You know that every time I come to church, I will say, I want to pray for the children. Because I know that I want your minds to be clear, that when God speaks to you, it's clarity, that when you make your decision, it's not out of fear, that when you make your decision, it's based on God's principles and God's word. Amen? Hallelujah. He will teach you. He will guide you. You live in a most exciting time. But I want you to go to bed, sleep at night, well, enjoy your life. Don't worry about anything. God will protect you and watch over you. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes. Lift your hands before God as Auntie Jen sings. I want the parents to lift their hands towards the children. Let's all pray together. This is the generation. Hallelujah. Look at them. Amazing, powerful generation. Hallelujah. Father God, I honor you. I worship you. And I thank you. I thank you for all our children. God, your word is so powerful. You said even before the foundation of this earth, you knew our spirit. You said to Jeremiah when you prepared him to become a prophet, you said, even before you were in your mother's womb, I created you. Lord, we thank you that you've created these little ones, this amazing generation right now. You've given them the spirit, oh God, given them life. But I pray today, Lord, for your divine blessing and your protection upon these young children right now. I thank you that as they go to school every day, as they go and learn to be educated, Lord, I thank you that their minds will be always open for critics. They will be critical in their thinking, that they will make up decisions based on your principles and your word and the purpose that you have in their life. I pray that the parents of God will continue to speak to the children, talk to them about their future, talk to them about their purpose, why they were born, talk to them about God. And they have that God's space in them to grow and grow and grow. That faith, the word of faith, the measure of faith grows and grows inside their life. Father, I pray that you empower these young ones, Lord, with that powerful anointing to be able to walk through. Lord, with their own little bodies, oh God, they know that they're so sharp in the things. That's why Jesus, you said, be like these children. Be innocent like them because their minds and their hearts are innocent. And Father, I pray that you will protect it. Keep it safe, oh God, that when they're in school, they will always know that your word and your principles are more important than anything else. Father, I pray that they will make decisions and make friends that are going to be good to them. Their friends will encourage them and become good friends. Friends that will speak things of God, oh God. Godly friends, people that they will be able to walk together and be strengthened together. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that they too become evangelists, Lord, in wherever they are. Father, if there's any doubt whatsoever, is there any skeptical things inside their hearts right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, I break that, hallelujah, and I release the Spirit of God. Father, the anointing of God upon these young ones' lives so that they make decisions, oh God, hallelujah, that will always become a decision that will, Lord, set them straight for the future. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We bring them before you today, and we pray your blood covering upon them. Hallelujah. I pray that many of them will go on, oh God, to achieve greatness inside the kingdom of God. I thank you that every one of them, you know their paths. You know their walk. Hallelujah. You know their life. We don't know anything about our children. Only you do. Father, we nurture them as parents. Speak to them as parents. Guide them as parents. But Father, when they leave the house, you are the one that will take them through life. Teach them, oh God. Father, I pray that right now, in no other name but the wonderful and mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. And all the children agreed and said, amen. Amen. Come on, you got to shout loud than that. All the children agreed and said, amen. Amen. Amen means I believe that. So be it. That prayer is my prayer, and I will walk in that place. Amen. Love you all. God bless you. You can go and sit down. Amazing. Look at our church. We're looking for people for church. Look at that.